Well, good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. If you're a visitor, we do welcome you. We trust that you'll feel at home with us and that God will encourage you and challenge you at the same time. That's true for all of us, isn't it? That God will encourage us and challenge us at the same time. And we're looking from Matthew 6, verse 11. It says, "Give us today our daily bread." And I wondered, as I was looking at this, why Jesus said, "Give us today our daily bread," and not give us this week's bread, or give us a month's worth of bread in one go, because then we know what we have, don't we? And it seems logical to me. When I go to work, and when I first started work, I knew I had to work a week, and then I got my wages at the end of the week, but I got the whole week's worth of wages. I didn't just get my wages on a daily basis, in the sense of I work a day, I get a day's wages. I had to work a week, then I got a whole week's wages, and if I used it wisely, I had enough to last me for the next week. But this is not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you know, when you pray, ask for your daily bread. And I just want to string together some scriptures and hopefully put something together that will encourage us and challenge us and give us the ability to see what it means and why it's important to ask for our daily bread. On the back of the powerful resource of prayer that God has given us. Because there are times in our lives where we just go, "God, come. Lord, come." And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next week. But Lord, today, as long as it's called today, it says in Scripture that it's the day of salvation. So if it's the day of salvation, nothing broken, nothing missing. So let's look together at one or two scriptures. I'm going to read from Proverbs 30. And Proverbs 38, verse 8, says this, "But give me only my daily bread." Now, if you was just to read that on its own, it wouldn't make much sense at all, apart from it's going back to what Jesus was saying, which he said, "Ask for your daily bread." So we have someone here in Proverbs saying, "Give me only my daily bread." So let's start from the beginning of this. And it says, "The sayings of Agar, the son of Jacob." And the reason I say that is because when I looked into who Agar was, there were several profiles, and none of them were the correct ones. But when I put who he was the son of, then it made sense. And it says here, it's an inspired utterance. And even though when I read this, you may think that this particular man is saying, "I have no wisdom," actually, he was a man of wisdom. He was a man of wisdom and inspiration. It says in verse 1, "I am weary, God." Then it says, "But I can prevail. Surely I am only a brute, not a man. I do not have human understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I attained the knowledge of the Holy One." Verse 4, "Who has gone up into heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son? Surely you know." Verse 5, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar." Verse 7, "Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." And when I read that portion of scripture in light of what Jesus is saying, "Give us today our daily bread," when you look through the journey of the Israelites, when you look what it says about bread, and when we look at bread, yes, it's to sustain us, it's to give us that natural food, but Jesus also says that "I am the bread of life, feed on me," and it's a spiritual life as well, isn't it? So when we talk about our daily bread, Scripture indicates to us, and quite rightly, that there's bread to eat, and that will sustain us in a natural way, and bread that will sustain us spiritually. So every word that comes from the mouth of God, the Bible says, is bread for us to feed upon. So what this wise man is saying here is, if I have too much, I might disown you, Lord. And if I don't have enough, I might steal. And I think that's a great foundation for us. And I don't feel it's wrong for us to put things by for future. I think as I read through Scripture, the Lord encourages us to be good stewards of what we have, doesn't he? And he says, as you sow, you will reap. As you give, you will receive. So it's not wrong, and I don't want to preach a message on saying we shouldn't save our finances, or we shouldn't save for a rainy day, or we shouldn't put away pensions, and we shouldn't plan. But what I am saying is, there is an application for our lives that when we pray, we say, Lord, sustain us for today. Lord, come and meet with me today. So I want to continue in with the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 73. Your hands made me and formed me and gave me understanding to learn your commands. You see, God made us and he formed us, and he's going to give us understanding, but we need to ask for it. When we think about daily bread, in that prayer he said, when you pray, hallowed be your name. When you pray, Father, there's a relationship. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. It's an asking, isn't it? And as we ask, we gain understanding and we learn his commands. And just that simple word there, learn, means it's an ongoing process. You know, we don't suddenly become Christians and then we know everything, do we? Or do we? I know I didn't. There was a lot I had to learn. There was a lot I had to unlearn. One of the benefits for me was I never had a religious upbringing, so I didn't have to unlearn anything. It was all fresh and a revelation to me. I didn't get into the religious side of things, if we want to say it that way. But I did understand that there was a daily process, and I needed to come to him in that way, with that humility. In Matthew 6, verse 31, it's talking here about, you know, what we're going to wear and the natural things. And Jesus says this: so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? That's okay, as long as you're not hungry and thirsty, isn't it? Because we could worry about those things. But listen to what he's saying in the whole portion of this scripture: or what you shall wear, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So it's not that God doesn't know that we need the natural, the physical, and we need the spiritual. He knows we need them. It goes on in 33. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So it's not that we're going to have lack, we're going to have increase. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And that's true, isn't it? But that's difficult. If you're anything like me, it's difficult not to worry about tomorrow, because you know you have that phone call, you know you have that meeting, you know you have that interaction. But God is encouraging us through that prayer: pray for your daily bread. Lord, sustain me today. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's true, isn't it? But in the reality of what the way we live and the way we walk, we know what Scripture says, but we find it difficult at times to live that way, to not worry about tomorrow, not worry about next week, not worry about next year. What's going to happen if we don't get the restrictions lifted? What's going to happen if we can't travel? It's difficult, isn't it? Yet, from a biblical perspective, God, through the words of Jesus Christ, which has been written down for me and you to give us that revelation, he's saying, listen, tomorrow will come, God willing, but just concern yourself about today. So if you're in that position where you are worrying about tomorrow, then take on board what Jesus is saying here. Seek first my kingdom and all the rest of it will come. I'll make sure that you're fed. I'll make sure that you're watered. I'll make sure that your physical needs are taken care of. Seek first the kingdom, and then the abundance will come. It will be added. And that peace that the Bible says that transcends all understanding That's what we want when we ask for peace, isn't it? In Matthew 4, staying with Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written," and he's being tempted by the devil here. If we go up to verse 3, it says, "The tempter came," that's Satan himself, "to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God,'" he's challenging his deity here, "'if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" The devil carried on tempting Jesus, and he said time and time again, "It is written." So when we're talking about bread here, give us today our daily bread. We're not just talking about that daily portion of manna that was given to the Israelites. We're talking about God's word, God's revelation, God's strength. It's far bigger than just a mouthful of cereal in the morning, isn't it? It's far bigger than just a roast meal in the evening. It's far bigger than that. It's saying, "Lord, give us what we need to sustain ourselves physically, but also give us what we need to sustain ourselves spiritually." Because going back to the reason I'm bringing these messages here is it's about putting on the armour of God for when the day of evil comes. Well, we're in the day of evil, aren't we? Because we have an evil one. His name is Satan. And he comes to rob, steal and destroy. But Christ came to build up and encourage, didn't he? And strengthen. But he says there's an armour, put it on. And you put it on so you can stand firm. And why do you need to stand firm? I'm glad you asked me. So that when the wind of adversity comes, you won't blow over. Because I don't know about you, but over these last few years, there's been a wind that's been blowing against me, and I've had to take a stand. And there's times where I just want to crumble and fall and say, "I've had enough." But that whisper comes, "Pray for that daily bread." There was, during worship, I was thinking about what I was saying to you as a church about some people being disillusioned and saying, I'm going to stay at home, and other people saying there's more than this. There was a light that was coming from my bag, and it's my pen, and it has a torch but doesn't work now apparently, but it did all the way through worship. And it was just like for me saying, "I am the light that shines in the darkness." It may seem small and insignificant, but it brightens up everything, doesn't it? And that's the word of God in our lives. He is the light that shines in the darkness. He's that daily provision that we have. And it's my privilege to encourage us through just speaking and reading what Scripture says and trying to put it across in such a way that we know that we've heard these before. There's no fresh revelation as such, but it's a reminder of who God is and what he said to us. And like, "Yes, Lord, tomorrow will take care of itself. Help me. I have faith, Lord. Increase my faith. Lord, I trust you." In Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today." Now, if you've read this story, it's worth listening again to what's being said, and hopefully you'll pick up one or two things that I picked up in relation to our daily bread, in relation to that prayer that Jesus gave us to protect us, to enable us. It's not a repetition. It's not, I don't believe Jesus said, "Pray this, and this is the only prayer you pray." It's the sentiment, the revelation around it, saying there's a relationship. Our Father that's in heaven, thank you, Lord, that your name is holy, your name is hallowed. Give us this day. "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors." And when we read through Scripture, there's a wonderful portion of Scripture that I like to quote, and it says, "All the promises of God are yes, and the Amen is spoken by us." All the promises are yes, and the Amen is spoken by us. Just think about that. God says he's promised, but we need to say, "Let it be so. I'm walking in these promises. Lord, you promised me peace. Amen, I'm taking that. Lord, you promised me prosperity in the right biblical sense of prosperity. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Yes, there'll be times I'll be hungry and there'll be times I'll be well fed. But Lord, I want to follow you and your ways." The promises are there. And the Amen is spoken by us. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness." Not just part of the way, all the way these 40 years. And there's times we're told we're on a journey. And we're on a journey and we have a destination. Christ is coming back to take us to that destination. Yes, the battle has been won, but we're still here on the earth. We're still in that struggle, aren't we, between good and evil. But remember, he's leading us all the way, not just part of the way, day by day. In the wilderness, he's 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his commands, he humbled you, causing you to hunger. This is God causing his people to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known before, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. There was a process. Now, God does not tempt us, but he does test us, doesn't he? What will we do if we come up against this situation? What will happen if this disease hits you? What will happen if you use the use of your legs or your arms or one of your faculties? What will you do? Well, we don't just live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. In verse 4, your clothes did not wear out, nor your feet did not swell during these 40 years. No. Then, in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. We're on this journey, and the Bible does say that God disciplines the one that he loves. And I don't know about you, but I used to have this conversation with God and say, don't love me so much, Lord. Don't discipline me so much. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs and gushing out into the valleys and the hills. Now, if we only read the first part of this, we would say that we're just getting bread on a daily basis. It's just one day after one day with the same meal. But as we read on, as we know that, as we walk through the testing and the ups and the downs, if you like, of life, that and we put our trust in God, there is an opening, there is a fullness of joy that will come. There is a fullness of that peace that will come. Yes, it will come on a daily basis, but we can be reassured that if tomorrow doesn't come, then we're at home with the Lord. And that's the hope that we have as Christians. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey. A land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. A land where rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart would become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength, the strength of my hands, have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Now, that's a large portion of scripture, and we could easily say, what does that have to do with our daily bread? But if you listened, if you heard, if you gleaned, it was talking about God providing us the bread on a daily basis. He looked after his people, and we are his people. And this was Deuteronomy, this was Old Testament. We're talking about what it says in Matthew, which is New Testament, Jesus' words When you pray, pray for your daily bread. But there's a journey, I believe, God takes us on to test our hearts, to say, do you love me? As he said to Peter, you know I do. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me? Then feed, feed, feed. So we need to have food for ourselves and food for others. Yes, we pray for our daily bread. But as we allow, I believe, our hearts to be humbled and challenged and encouraged, that we can say we have what we have because the Lord has blessed us. And God wants us to have good things. He does. He wants you to have good homes and a comfortable lifestyle. Why? I'm glad you asked me. So that you can be someone that will help others that are around you. You need to have it in order to give it, don't you? You need to be on that plane, and if there's a disaster, you put your mask on, then someone else's mask on. If you put their mask on first, you might not be able to put your mask on. So God says, I want to provide for you on a daily basis, but I want your heart to be mine. I want your riches to be mine. I want to increase the things in your life, and he wants to increase the things in my life. So I want to encourage us as we look at that prayer afresh. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. It's far bigger than that. God wants us to feed upon his word. He wants us to know that he is for us and not against us. In Luke 9 verse 23, then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciples, this is Jesus speaking here, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. There are times where God says, put me first. Put me first. And it's a daily experience. There's times where I don't want to do what God tells me to do, but I have a choice. I either become obedient and well fed, or disobedient and hungry. And I'm not just talking about natural things. I'm talking about spiritual things. There's a hunger. The Bible talks about hunger and thirsting after righteousness. That's a right standing with God. And that's why the cross that we bear is a daily cross. There are things we don't want to do with our finances. There are things we don't want to do with our time. There are times we don't want to forgive. Or is that just me? There are times we find it difficult to just keep quiet. And there's other times we find it difficult to speak out. But if we come back to what Jesus says, daily cross, daily bread, then God will feed us, he'll sustain us, he'll encourage us. So that's why I'm reading these scriptures out today, to be that source of encouragement, just to bring a freshness to what God has said time and time again. In 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 12, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. Your daily life. What's this talking about? If we just read that one portion of scripture, we may not understand it fully. So let's go up to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you to, and urge you in the Lord Jesus, to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, in other words, set apart for him, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control their own bodies, and in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans do, who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins. As we told you and warned you before, in verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. That's why we need his bread, his word daily. In verse 8, therefore, anyone who rejects the instructions does not reject human beings, but God. The very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. God's given us a portion of his Spirit. It's a deposit guaranteeing the rest is to come. It's a deposit. When I first become a Christian, I didn't understand about this Holy Spirit until I got convicted. I didn't I'd never been convicted in that way before. I said something in a way that I shouldn't have said it, and God froze me to the steering wheel of my vehicle until I went in and apologised, and then that burden lifted. But God's given us his Holy Spirit for a reason, to keep us in check, to bless us and encourage us, to enable us to pray daily for this food. Verse 9, now about your love for one another. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. That's what Scripture encourages us to do. And in fact, you do love each other, all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. Now, if we're going to do that more and more, we need more and more of him. We need to feed on a daily basis. Verse 11, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should, this is scripture, okay? You should mind your own business and work with your own hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. So, when we pray for our daily bread, when we take up our cross daily, people will see us and it will influence them, and they'll want what we have if what we have is the bread of life. Yeah? If what we have is the bread of life, then they'll want what we have. And they too will have that understanding that it's a daily process. We'll win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. God wants us just to depend on him. And if we are dependent on other people, then they have a control over our lives, don't they? But when we come to God on a daily basis, as the children had to as they was wandering around the wilderness, they had to rely on Father God on a daily basis. They had to take up what they had on a daily basis. Remember, if you can remember that portion of scripture, read it if you can't. It says, take enough, but don't take too much. If you take too much, it'll rot. Take enough. So those that had enough didn't have too much, and those that had a lot didn't have a little. They had everything they needed, according to the family circumstances. So if you was a big family, you gathered a large amount, but you didn't have too much. If you was a small family, you gathered a small amount, but you didn't have too little. And it's so difficult, I believe, for Christians, for us to grab hold of that and really trust God on a daily basis. Because if you're anything like me, you want to know what God says about tomorrow and the next day. Well, he has given us revelation. We know what's going to happen in the end. And we trust that when we go to sleep at night, we'll wake up in the morning. But if we don't wake up in the morning in our bed, we'll wake up in eternity, won't we? That's what the Bible tells us. That's why God encourages us to pray on a daily basis, not to worry about tomorrow, although it's difficult, but to seek first the kingdom, then everything else is given. That's a scripture that tells us that God wants us to be blessed. And he wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to those around us. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 32, this is a story that I've always enjoyed talking about this, and I won't go into it into detail because of time, but it's about the David and the Goliath and the David and the Saul situation. Now, when you read this portion of scripture, I'll just paraphrase it quite briefly for us. David was a young shepherd boy who was anointed to be king, yes? And then he was sent back into the field to look after the few sheep that the brothers had joy in reminding them when he went to the battlefield. Who's looking after those few sheep? He was told to take supplies to his brothers to bless them and just see and bring a report what's happening. And when he got there, he realized that there was a giant called Goliath, and he was coming up against the armies of the living God, and he was tormenting them. And there you had one man and thousands of other people, and yet they were afraid because of that one man. And there are times, if we don't take hold of what God says to us and about us on a daily basis, that one person, one voice, one report, one news report, one sentence in the newspaper, one comment from a friend will cause us to be fearful. That's why God says daily bread. Sustain yourself, feed yourself. So David said, what will be done for the man who slays Goliath? And he was told that these riches and this wedding would take place and all the good things. And he went up to the king and he says, I'll go and fight. And the king says, you can't fight, you're just a boy. And he told him something that goes back to the give us today our daily bread. He told the king this. He said, listen, when the lion and the bear came, I fought them all. There's something in me that's far stronger than the lion and the bear. I know that I've been redeemed. I know that I belong to the everlasting God. And when you read the story of David, you look through the Psalms where he relays to us how he would lay under the stars and commune with the Father. That's what he had. He had a relationship. He didn't go, I don't believe anyway, that he went thinking I'm bigger than him. He didn't go thinking that I'm stronger than him. He didn't go and thinking, look at all you weak and vulnerable people. Why can't you be more like me? I don't believe that's how he thought. I don't believe he was arrogant. I believe he knew that the God that was on the inside was far bigger than the man that's on the outside. I believe through that daily experience of laying under the stars looking after those few sheep, when that day came and the bear came, he took care of the bear because he had the relationship with the Father. And so when we talk about daily bread, there'll be a time that because we're eating on a daily basis, because we're physically strong because of the natural food, and we're spiritually strong because of the spiritual food, that when that Goliath comes, we'll be able to say, we'll fight, and not just walk towards it, but run towards it. Because we've been sustained by that daily bread. We don't have too much, we don't have too little. We have everything we need. Whatever you have enough. God says that you don't have too much, you don't have too little. Whatever you have enough. We need to walk on a daily basis. We need to feed on a daily basis. We need to pray on a daily basis. We need to receive on a daily basis. And yes, we need to take up our cross and stagger if we have to on a daily basis. I would like to share just one or two more scriptures with you before we go into a time of worship and close this session. But in Ephesians 6, just to remind us, it says in verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and mighty in power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet that's fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then it says in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, he says, whenever I speak the words I may give, that may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. We can only do that if we take it in on a daily basis. We can only be reminded to put on the armour of God. When we get dressed, then we get dressed on a daily basis. And yes, unless you're like the man I went away with one weekend, and I was a little bit startled, I won't tell you who he was, but he got into bed fully dressed and he got up fully dressed. Well, in one sense, as Christians, we're encouraged to do that with the armour of God, but not with our natural clothes. But there are times where God says, I want you to put on, I want you to take up. And when we talk about bread, going right back to the beginning, give us today our daily bread, we're talking about, look after our needs, Lord. But Father God, give us your spiritual food. Speak to me afresh today. Just take a small bite. Just ask him what he wants you to do for him today. Just ask him what it is he wants to highlight to you today. But that food is his word. Whether you listen to it or whether you read it, that's his word. And as we take in his word, he strengthens us and he gives us everything we need for today and he gives us what we need for tomorrow. Isaiah 55 verse 10. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, does not return to it without watering the earth, and makes it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish all what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. And I'll leave you with this final portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10. Now he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply the increase of your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There'll be seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So when we pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread, he will give us what we need to sustain ourselves. He'll give us bread to eat and he'll give us seed to sow. The parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God. God will give us bread to eat, that's his word, and he'll give us seed to sow. So it's not just about us becoming fat Christians. Doesn't sound very good, does it? But you know what I mean. He wants us to be healthy Christians, but we'll have enough food to eat and enough seed to sow. Amen? So be encouraged today as we close in prayer. Be encouraged to seek him on a daily basis. Try not to worry about tomorrow. Remember that it has enough cares of its own. Seek first the kingdom and God will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, your right standing with him as you eat of his food and you sow of his seed. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy towards us. We thank you, Lord, that you are the bread of life and you encourage us to feed on you. But we also thank you that you take care of our physical needs and you take care of our spiritual needs. Encourage us, enlarge us, that we may be all that you've called us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.